Hey, listeners, thanks for tuning into the podcast. I just want to take a moment to mention the podcast sponsor, retrogamestore.com.au. Head over there for all your Game Boy refurbish and repair needs. Screens, shells, buttons, all the bits and pieces. And there's a complete custom build made to order service as well. Also, plenty more retro gaming goodness like video cables, display stand and power supplies, controllers, etc. And you can add the code PixelPie at checkout to get 10% off your order. Also, take a moment to say if you enjoyed this episode and haven't already, give it a subscribe or follow and a review where you can. And maybe you want to recommend the Pixel Pie podcast to anyone you know that would enjoy it. That'd be really appreciated. So thanks for listening. And now let's get on with the show.
Hi, I'm Sean from Did Somebody Say Retro, and you're listening to the Pixel Pie podcast.
G'day, Sean. How you doing?
Hello, mate. All good. How are you?
I am well. Look, just straight off the bat, I appreciate you coming on the podcast. Now, for you at this point, it's sort of like 9 a.m.-ish. You're in the UK on a Saturday morning. Yeah. So
that's the one.
You could be sleeping in and, you know, like thinking how the common folk live and all that sort of stuff. And you chose to spend hopefully an hour and a half or more with me chatting about retro gaming and stuff that keeps us young and hard, eh?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Also, like, I do appreciate you coming on. Like, I think that kind of your Insta and your YouTube, there's a definite sort of individual flavor about what you do.
Thank you very much.
There's multiple angles. Sorry, Sean, Did Somebody Say Retro? For anybody who's like, who the hell are you talking to? I'm talking to Sean from Did Somebody Say Retro. And on Insta, you also have Did Somebody Say PVM? And
yes,
we're going to go down that path. I hate talking about PVMs because they're expensive and I want at least two. And I hang out with Gav Nostek a little and he says they're great. And I hate it when he says that. So we'll go down that path. But yeah, back to sort of like your content, for lack of a better term. You know, there's lots of angles to what you do. You know, there's consoles and there's handhelds, but you know, there's like your games room and just, I guess it feels more like you're showing me a bit more about sort of an intimate sort of side of the lifestyle of retro gaming.
Yeah.
Okay. And I kind of, there's lots of stuff out there. It's like, this is what you need. This is how much you're going to spend. But it's like, sometimes I think some people might forget to actually sit back and just enjoy it. Watch you and I look at your Insta, I'm like, I think this dude really enjoys everything he has and everything he does. And he's just gagging to just tell everybody about it.
I'm really glad that's come across. That's exactly how it is, man.
Yeah, that's how I feel. So let's maybe, I've done a bunch of chatting already. Let's sort of just introduce yourself to myself and whoever's listening and just where are you at and what are you doing? And sort of how did you sort of get to, hey, I've got YouTube and Instagram and I'm really enjoying doing this.
Yeah, so I'll just go from where it started, really.
Yeah.
So it just started from me refurbishing years and years and years ago, I remember changing the lens on my Game Boy Color, and I tried to pick the lens out with a knife because it didn't have screwdrivers,
damaged that
Game Boy. And I've still got it to this day, actually. I might put a picture of that up soon. Yeah. But I wanted to refurbish Game Boy, so about 4 years ago, I started refurbishing Game Boys. Didn't really have anyone to talk to about it. I've got friends that are into retro gaming, but not people that are into that specific thing. So
it's a real refurbishing, niche within a niche, isn't it?
It is, yeah, it is. So I thought I was on my own, really. And then I thought, there's got to be other people out there that do this. So I made a Instagram account, an account with the name. There's no real, like, there's not like a fancy story about how I came up with the name or anything. I was just lying in bed and just started brainstorming and found and just picked it, the first one. That was it.
It's a good name because it's that real, like, you know, you're sitting around somewhere and you're like, and you think you hear it. It's like, did somebody say retro? Hey,
come
over, I'll buy you a drink, you know, that sort of thing.
That's the first time anyone's ever noticed that, because that is the reason why I made that name.
Good.
is because it's that thing where if you're the way that I felt at the time, and I don't think I've ever told anyone this, the way I felt at the time was the fact that if I heard somebody say retro, I would genuinely think in my head, oh, did somebody say? And then I think, oh, I want to talk to them because I don't really know. I've got anyone, got many people to talk to.
Yeah. It's like, I'm the only retro guy in the village.
Exactly. Yeah. It's really cool that you've noticed that. So yeah, I did that. And then I started refurbishing Game Boys, started making some friends on Instagram, such as Joe Bleeps, and then started getting my stuff from Deadpan Robot. And then things just went from one thing to another. I saw someone put up a picture of a Game Boy with a backlit screen, and I was thinking, this is crazy.
Is that like I've always wanted a backlit screen? DMG with the
Old school, And then the AGS 101 Game Boy Advance screens as well, when they were like, what were they, like 25, 30 quid for the kit? Everything was so much cheaper about 3 years ago. And then it just went from one thing to another. I ended up buying a house with my fiance, and then I luckily managed to twist her arm and get myself the box room for the games room.
Oh, good stuff.
And then I built that.
It looks pretty, because I'm a carpenter, it looks pretty cozy. And I think you're not short.
It's small, man.
Yeah.
Because I'm a pretty tall guy, and that room's really small, so it might come across that it's a really like spacious room.
It's not.
No,
I can sort of see it. I'm like,
can you see?
You look pretty comfy on that two seater, and I'm like, I reckon he's a pretty tall dude. And like, there's a little window.
6'2"
There you go.
Yeah, so it's not the biggest room, but it's I like the cozy feel to it. It's kind of like, you know, when you're a kid and you're like making like a fort. And you're in like this little space, and it's really cool. And you know, you lock yourself away. It's kind of like an adult's fort, but full of everything that you dreamed of owning when you were a kid. So
it went from one thing to another. Did you have much of consoles and stuff, and just retro gaming in general? Yeah. Are you like a little brother, big brother, or were you lucky to
go? I'm a big brother to my sister.
Yep.
And my sister was into playing some games as well as she got a little bit older. Yep. She ended up getting a GameCube and stuff, and that was my introduction to the GameCube. She was a big Mario Party fan. And when I was younger, I had a yellow DMG with Super Mario Land 2, and I think it was Super Mario Land 1. Yep. I think it came in a box, the big long box. I'm sure it did. But it was definitely the yellow Game Boy DMG. And then I had the Game Boy Color, the purple one.
Yep.
I had, when I was younger, I think the first console I ever had was a NES, NES.
Yep.
And that was like, I think my next door neighbor gave me that, gave his Master System as well. Because he just stopped playing it. Man. So, and they didn't have a lot of stuff, but I think I just don't think he played them anymore. So he gave them to me, and I had them for years and years. Game Gear. And then the PS1 was the real big one. I remember getting that for Christmas.
How old
that
were you been when the amazing. PS1 came out?
It's a good question. I'm terrible with ages.
So I looked sort of early teens or something?
Yeah, probably younger than that. Yeah, right. I think I was probably about 10 maybe.
Oh, wow. That's like, the step from the, you know, from the, say, SNES and Mega Drive into the PlayStation.
Yeah, it's like, massive.
We just went... I mean, I only experienced it as a very outer rim kind of person. Like, I was kind of growing up, I was a teen, like 18, 19, sort of skating around Hobart, kind of going and visiting people. And you know, the people that could afford them, they have a PS1. And I can remember the first time walking in and seeing like Ridge Racer and Tekken and going, wow, that must have cost you a shit ton of money, dude. You know, because I mean, these dudes all had like, you know, rear projection, big screens and stuff. And I was just like,
Man,
the future is, and we all said the future is here. It's going to get no better than this. that's like a really awesome time to become really aware of what you, because it's weird how as you grow, you all of a sudden you go, oh shit, I really like cheesecake. I didn't realize this, but for you to kind of be at that age where you've realized the things you're starting to love and boom, what creates the PlayStation, you're like, oh yeah.
I mean, when I was younger, I don't think I was as... I did really, really enjoy playing games, but I wasn't into opening them up. When I was a kid, I wasn't really interested in like opening them up and figuring them all out. I was fascinated by how it works. I didn't really get it. Because you never open anything up, you always wonder, what the hell's going on inside there? How does that laser, how does that optical laser work in the PS1?
Yeah.
You know, what does it do when the lid's closed? So I did wonder. I never actually
opened
it up. The
little mouse runs around, 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 around. Don't you know that?
Yeah, it's this little man that just pushes the lenses back and forwards.
Yeah.
So, so as I got older, I thought, you know, I was a bit intrigued. I was a bit intrigued when I was younger. So, when I started collecting again in like my late 20s, then I decided, you know, let's open this up and see what it's like, and just don't be worried. You're not going to break it or anything. And then, yeah, like I said, it just went from one thing to another then, really. And then I'm in the realm of consoles now, which is really cool. And then, yeah, so where did we get to? I think we got to refurbing Game Boys. Then I modded them and started selling them. I sell them to a few different countries. And then I started different projects. So I started hiring out consoles and CRT tellies.
Oh, right.
And I had my own events. So if you go back far enough, you'll start seeing
Your Insta
advertisements. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think how far you'd have to go. Just before COVID, I must have done about 4 or 5 events.
Right.
And then it was going really well. I was covered on the front of my local paper, and I was on a local radio station.
Yeah, cool.
And then COVID happened, and it just messed everything up. Mm. So I'm waiting to get back on that, actually.
So you've sort of like, you've been real deep. Like I see like on your Insta, there's a lot of stuff of like CRTs with the back off, and you're kind of happy being in there playing around. And like that's something that everybody that does that says, don't do it unless you're with someone that knows what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, with me, I was talking to a friend the other day. I haven't gone in there and discharged anything. The only thing that I did in that, when I took the CRT off, I did take the back of a PVM off and not know that you shouldn't do it without discharging it first. Oh, so that's just lucky that I didn't touch what I shouldn't touch. I had no idea how dangerous it was.
Right.
So anyway, I got away with that.
I just got lucky.
I had no idea. The first PVM video that you see when I'm opening it up, I did not have a clue that you're not supposed to touch anything.
Oh, goodness.
But I just didn't anyway because I wanted to be careful.
Yeah,
so then I figured, then I found out you need to discharge them. You need to be really careful. So I, when I did the Bang & Olufsen CRT mod recently, I just only messed about with things where you can't get shocked.
Mm.
So I'm a bit worried about going to that. I really want to get to the stage where I can repair a CRT and a PVM in particular.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that risk factor. I need someone to sit with me. I need to see somebody do it properly. That's how I prefer to learn, usually. I mean, it can come across well in a video, but because there's an element of risk, I really want to just probably do one with someone that knows their stuff, man.
That's wise. When I saw your video come up of Bang & Olufsen, I was like, you just don't hear that name very often. Probably about 10, 15 years ago, I knew a dude I was living in Perth, Western Australia, that worked for Bang & Olufsen, like a showroom there in Perth.
Yeah.
And he just kind of raved about it and stuff, but he would have all these like random, like old German CRTs that he's like, I don't own an LCD because this is amazing. He's actually telling me about, I think the only motor car that gets a Bang & Olufsen is Aston Martin. And so they would get these massive like Aston Martin track days and stuff. And I think the only other car is like, what's his name? Elton John's Rolls Royce.
No way.
Yeah. And it was like, these like prestige shit. So when I saw you open a Bang & Olufsen PVM, I was like, well, this dude is pretty, he knows what he's doing, right?
I think so. Yeah. I did a lot of research, man, a lot of research. That was a journey, getting that TV and setting it up. That was like a whole, because I love to learn new things, man. So I got that TV for £23. Do you know how much that TV cost when it was out? It was like 1600 when it was out,
that TV. And that was like in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah, 90s, I think. And then I got PBM's it for £23 off eBay.
There's got to be pallets of these things that have been pulled out of like casinos and jails and hospitals and just everywhere. Like they can't all be in the tip. There's got to be pallets of them just sitting somewhere I recently picked up like a Betamax, you know, tape, which I'd never watch, but off a dude at like a boot sale. And he's like, oh, I keep hitting this guy up every now and then. And he's just got this old dude's hoarder. He's just got this house full of like stereos and VHSs and all sorts of crap. Mm. And the guy's like, the house is definitely going to burn down. We're going to lose it all. So I'm just trying to chip away. But there's got to be someone with a shed flammable. Full of them, you know, that's just sitting there.
Yeah.
Ready for you to practice on.
Some barn find. I'd love that. I keep doing that. I keep holding on to broken sets and I've taken a couple of faulty PVMs and holding on to them and just waiting for the day where I take the plunge and just start to learn how to fix it. Mm. Because like I said, I just love learning no matter what it is. I just love to learn new things and learn more about consoles, how to mod them and better my skills in soldering and all sorts, man. So
The PVM is probably at the real tip of the spear, I suspect, as far as like you said, there is a physical risk to yourself, and there's also probably a fairly decent expense if you were to, you know, make something totally unfixable again. And you've got a lot, like your YouTube's only a couple of years old, but it kind of, I guess it still shows a lot of, you know, the depth that you go to, but your Instagram shows a lot. Mm-hmm. And you really do get amongst almost everything, you know, like you said, plenty of Game Boys, N64 controllers. You know, if you flick through, it looks like at some point you've been into the guts of almost everything that's out there. And that's
I try.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. I try and because I've got a vast collection, because I'm not just interested, because some people specialize in certain things like Nintendo or Sega stuff. And then they know their shit in that field. They know what they're talking about big time, because they focus all the energy on that. For me, I'm scattered across most of the retro gaming, most of retro gaming as a whole, in the late 80s and early 90s and early noughties. So a lot, I've got bits of everything, really. Yeah. Not literally everything, but I've got bits of everything. So I like to show off and appeal to as many different people as I can.
For sure. I mean, I'm looking here, I can see like a 2600, you know, Atari 2600, a pyramid of PVMs. There's a GameCube there. You know, there's you've got a Mega Drive, the two different Mega Drive controllers, you know, just like four pictures up. And it just sort of goes on, like every sixth picture, some time crisis, you know, with the light gun.
Yeah.
So like every sort of dozen photos, there's a slight shift in one direction or the other. And that's, it's nice to have someone.
Thanks for noticing that.
There's nice when you have someone that's really committed and that's like, this is the the Lance Armstrong of IPS mods, you know, and that's fine. Well, maybe not Lance Armstrong. Let's go Neil Armstrong, because he hasn't been busted for anything. But it's also nice just to have someone that you feel like, if you like a bunch of stuff, like I have, you know, Mega Drive, SNES, NES, GameCube, PlayStations, Game Boys, and I feel like I just have a much more broader interest. Some of them won't get any love for like 6 months, and all of a sudden, all I can think about is just working my way through a bunch of games on my Everdrive in my SNES. And when you have someone that kind of pitter patters around in different directions, it helps you to kind of realize, oh, there's more here and there's more there and stuff like that. Recently, you've obviously got yourself involved in some arcade stuff. So can you explain to me the NQ64? Because it's come up, but I feel like you could probably really talk about it, why and how and what
definitely.
It is, especially for those obviously in your area.
Yeah, so NQ64 is a company in the UK that have five NQ64 bars, arcade bars, and they also have some other places as well. The company itself has other places, especially Manchester, like other bars. And there's also one called the Dog Bowl, which has a bowling alley and a mini NQ64 set up in there. Right. So I'm responsible for looking after all of the consoles in every one of their sites and setting up their new sites as well.
Wow.
So I've already set up in the last two, three months, I've been responsible for setting up every console. So obviously that's just a section, by the way. Most of it is arcade cabinets, which I don't touch. Yep. So there's five consoles five different consoles. I've set up two sites. I set up one in Manchester, a place called Peter Street, and I've set one up in Edinburgh, which is almost 300 miles away, which is really cool to do, actually, because I've never been to Scotland, so that was really good. So they're modified. They have specific modifications.
What sort of mods would you put in those?
So I've done, I know about the mods. I haven't done the mods myself. So they have like RGB modifications. So they've got really good visuals or a HDMI modification. So anything like that, really, to improve the experience when you play the console. And then it's got a ton of games on there as well. So you have like, we always try and make sure as well. I spent the last 2 days going around the sites and making sure that they have in-game reset combinations, so you can come back to the menu and you can select the game when you finish playing that one, rather than being stuck on one game all the time. So we do that, and we, you know, try and I sort out the controllers, because obviously with every pad it's either two or four controllers. Got to make sure they're working right. Got to make sure they look good, and then they're cool looking, and they're transparent watermelon red if you can. And and then they've got spares. And things break as well, obviously. Course. So they're old units. So the joysticks on the GameCube, they're just all, like, you wouldn't believe how quickly people go through those.
Really? Well, like the left one, the top kind of gray one or whatever.
That rubber that comes off, it doesn't take long.
I wonder why, because I see like a fair few people. I think Joe did it recently. There's one, you can see mine there, the metal ones. And I was like, It seems like, you know, spinners on a 29-inch Cadillac or bling or something, but there's a reason.
I've thought about, I might be presenting that idea to the next time I see them. However, it's just, I think it's just quite expensive to do every one in the business, because there's four or five GameCube controllers in every site. So that's
plus maybe a backup or two. 20.
So and you got spares, and then one of the sites there's two GameCubes, so that's eight controllers. So it's just
a challenge for you, and as then, you're kind of like the curator, I guess, but you're trying to say to them, I don't know what the price of these are, but if you're being, you know, sort of compensated for your time, and you're like, okay, so six controllers, let's say, per five sites, at let's say each one's gonna be, say, parts and my time or whatever, is going to be something like, say, $45. And you're asking someone to go out and fork out that 6 by 5 times 45. And they're kind of like, I don't know, seems like a lot of money. And you try to explain to them, it does, but in the long run, and you're also having these challenges where you're trying to keep the ship afloat, you know, within the realm of
reality. I think the one thing that's really cool about them is they really trust me, because you know they've seen what I do. The way that I met them was really cool, because I got to show them the video content I've been making for them. I met the directors, and the reason how we kept in touch is because when I was there with some of my friends on a games testing night in a new site, I met the directors, and they happened to look at my video content that I've been making, which they haven't asked me or anything. I was just a fan, and they really liked it, and then we kept in touch, and then one thing led to another, and then we're here. But the thing that's really cool about them is they know their stuff as well. And they just let me, like, they trust me to just say, you know what, Sean, and this is what we want to achieve. And if you just maintain everything, we'll leave it up to you. And, you know, if you want to get an upgrade for that or an upgrade for that, we trust you. Just let us know what you're going to get, and then just go and get it. So I've got like some, I've got that element of sort of
so like an artistic freedom.
It's kind of like I'm free to just I'm working with, so I know what they want, and they're always open to new ideas. So if something else new comes up, you know, on the market, a new mod or anything like that, I'd have a chat with them each time I see them, and we have a good chat, and we see if we want to try and put that in there. So there's always, I'm always throwing new ideas to them as well. So should we get that console there, or should we do this? I don't want to give too much away, but I love the fact that they're listening and they want to keep the want to keep up and keep changing bits here and there and getting better. Yeah. And to be responsible for that is huge for me. I'm literally doing, excuse me, I'm doing what I do at home for a hobby, what I did as a hobby. And I'm now basically doing that for somebody now, which is amazing. It's not my dream. And also support their video content as well.
Is it possible that it's going to give you enough income to kind of like go? So is with retro gaming and stuff, is a bit of a side thing, but is it any way related to your like real-time life and job?
So until about 1 month ago, I've always had a full-time job.
Right.
Apart from this, that's completely different. It's got nothing to do with retro gaming.
Yeah.
And on occasions, I've done even more than that. I've had two jobs along with did somebody say retro at the same time. So if I'm not, excuse me, if I'm like until a month ago, I was a teaching assistant in a primary school.
Yeah, right.
And then for most of the other time, it's been in retail. It's been in the retail environment, and I was in management. Excuse me.
Yeah, you're right.
I was in management as well, and I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
I kind of like to, because I get to do a lot of. I get to do a lot of stuff on my own here. I get to go to these different sites and just crack on with fixing things. Mm. I get to repair controllers, and I love doing that. I'd really, really like doing that. So this appeals to me way more. Obviously, with the line of work it is as well, it's just perfect.
Living the dream.
I'm really, really.
So when you travel then, like when you go to the sites, because I assume that, like out of, say, the five sites, that maybe only one or two are realistically just down the street, if that. I haven't asked you where exactly you're located. But with the others, do you kind of like pack your car or your van or your scooter or whatever with like a whole bunch of stuff and kind of rock up and just sort of clean through and just sort of like inspect everything? Or is it more so at the moment? And obviously it's very early days, but is it more so like they'll kind of go, this isn't working, that isn't working, and you kind of go, well, I'll grab three of those and six of those and two of those, and I'll kind of scoot on over and do what I can.
So this week I did four site visits this week in 2 days. Right. So I could just reel off to you give you an idea of what I did there, and that's a good example for you. So just to give you an idea of where things are located. So I'm in a place called Wolverhampton, which is in the West Midlands. So it's pretty much bang in the middle of England. Yep. There's one site that's close to me that's south, 25 minutes south of me,
cool.
Which is in Birmingham.
That's then the one you have the bar tab at.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's three sites in Manchester.
Wow.
So there's two NQ64s and Dog Bowl with NQ64 in it. And that is 85 miles north.
Okay.
Then there's Liverpool, which is about the same as well, but just to the left-hand side a little bit. and then there's Edinburgh, which is 280 miles away.
Right.
So I was there a couple of times last month. So I look after those sites on Wednesday and Thursday. On Wednesday, I did the three in Manchester. So I did Peter Street, Northern Quarter, and Dog Bowl, and on Thursday I did Birmingham. So I'll go there, and I've got a duffel bag, so you know, like a gym bag.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've got that with like what have I got in there? I've got cleaning stuff. I've got chargers. I've got a stand where I can put my phone on it, like an arm that I use to clip my phone onto it.
Yeah.
And then in my backpack, I've got things like my little toolbox. I've got a little toolbox with like a multimeter. A multimeter in there,
and all those sort of things that we kind of use to fix whatever.
Yeah,
like a good solid toolkit.
I'm sure it's called a multimeter. So
what do you do about spares and things like that? Like, how do you kind
it's
of
in the games room? It's in the games room.
Oh no!
So what you don't see is about eight boxes full of stuff in there. So every time I go in the games room, I have to empty it. So I've got some content to do today, actually, because I used my last draft today. So I've had a busy week. Yeah. So I'll have to empty that and then get cracking with content. But everything's like set up ready. There's just on the sofa and on this floor. That's where I store NQ64. what's it called, like their spares and everything, and things to fix and things for the next site. So obviously with every console, there's four pads, two cables, there's a spare pad. So there's loads of stuff in there. It's all organized though, obviously. Yeah.
Well, it has to be if you're doing it at this scale, like,
it's
got to be kind of ready and good to go. And, you know, if they kind of, I guess if they kind of call you up and go, this isn't working, it's got to be weird kind of knowing what is hot. Like, I think as an arcade operator, like, you can kind of count the coins. Well, when we used to put coins in the arcade machines, these days it tends to be like either free play in bars or like the swipe cards, but you can kind of count the coins and go, this machine's getting hammered. But you never know, like, all of a sudden Paperboy on the Master System might just be a really big thing because a bunch of people just start every Thursday and Friday, they come in and they just smash that. Yeah. How do you get ready for that, you know, when all of a sudden this random game from the 80s becomes the thing? You know, like, the B button might just get a real pummeling. So it's not like an arcade machine where all buttons are effectively identical and a stick's a stick and a coin mech's a coin mech. So I think you've got a lot of puzzles in lots of different directions to deal with.
Which is good for me, because I like being able to mess about with all these different consoles and all these different controllers. But a lot of the controllers are nice and sturdy. PS1, don't really get any problems with that. SNES, you rarely get problems with that. Yeah. Then we have GameCube, which the joysticks go all the time. But that's just a matter of opening it up. And while it's open, I'll clean the contacts and get some of the muck off it. And then just drop a new joystick in there. But sometimes, you know, the joystick switch that's underneath the actual rubber stick, there's a thing in there that's like the actual mechanism that snaps and breaks sometimes. Oh, so sometimes if you see, there'll be a photograph of GameCube pads, a few scrolls down, and you'll see that the joystick is fallen, like, it's not stiffened and it's sitting in the middle where it should be. It's sort of dropped down. That's because the switch inside is broken, the joystick switch.
Oh, man.
So that'll need replacing. So that's desoldering and then putting a new switch in. But they're not very expensive. And it's not, if you've soldered before, it's not difficult.
Yeah.
There's a few points that you have to, where you have to, you have to desolder, probably about 10, 12 maybe, and then solder it back in again. So we have GameCube.
I guess you got a real challenge too, also trying to pick up like repro. Like, for example, when you're getting the switch, that switch you're talking about, which solders back onto the main board, are you getting original stock or are you getting repro stuff? And if it's repro stuff, that's always going to be a little bit of a risk as well. And like, if you're like, holy shit, I bought a dozen from AliExpress, they're great, and you go back and try and buy them next week, and that thing's moved
prices on. Change.
Your prices change, and that's moved on. It's a month away, and you know, I guess you kind of just got to hedge your bets, right?
Yeah, so there's things like the N64 joysticks, they're tricky. So I don't think you can get original parts of anything, really. And if you do, they're not really the things you probably want to look after and put on display, if anything. So so when you get replacement parts, I find it difficult. I don't think I've ever seen original parts going. But these parts are really, really good. I've never really had any problems with them, the switches and the replacement joysticks. So they're reproduced, but never have any problems with those. But all controllers, bar probably just a handful, everything is just original. Everything.
Yeah.
It's only when there's been like a situation where it's been a busy weekend or whatever, and a few have gone, that maybe like one or two third parties are thrown in there. But it's my job to replace them and put the originals back in.
Yeah.
So at the minute, every single pad, I think every single pad in the whole business is original.
That's important.
Or like a handful. And that's my job to get them replaced. But then you can't just say, oh, I'm going to get 10 GameCube pads today, because they're not available. I use a good supplier called Backstross Limited, and he's really good at refurbishing them.
Right.
And they're really good at refurbishing them. and cleaning them up nice, ready to go.
Yeah.
But they're not always available because I think I pretty much buy most of them.
All right.
I've had quite a lot of them recently.
Yeah.
So I make sure that, and then they last a while. Once they've been put back on site, they last for ages once you fix them.
Repro controllers can be, like, there's a lot of good ones out there, but some of them can be just odd. Like, I picked up this, awful. Yeah, I picked up a couple of these, like, kind of Wavebird ripoffs, because Will Baron Price.
How are you finding it? Is it good?
It's not too bad. Will lent me his Wavebird, and I was like, oh, I kind of want it because I've got 6 consoles. I want to reduce cable. And then I kind of researched this, and it was like, there's 3 or 4 different ones, but I think they're essentially the same one. And you can pick them up here in Australia brand new for about $55. And I found both of these for sale for $50. And they were bright orange, you know, like really bright orange and quite kind of like slimy to feel after a bit. So I wanted to kind of pull them down, and I put the black mat on the bottom and the purple on the top.
Nice.
And they look great. But one thing that was the left shoulder button was always on a bit. You know how they're like, they're an analog button. So these do have the analog, like the original. So you can, when Mario's squirting, the more you push it, the further he squirts, for example. Like with Luigi, the left one is like the ice or the fire, whatever you're using. And it was just always on a tiny bit. And I was like, oh, that's odd. So when I opened it, there was just a little bit of kind of weird molding inside the shell. Because if you were to be inside someone, you're like, you push like a contact, and it kind of slides down a little sort of analog thing.
It's on a bar
with a spring. And because of the plastic inside it, that spring was never allowed to push that thing all the way off the switch. So it was just on like the tiniest bit. So all I do is go in with my little like craft knife and just cut that bit of plastic away, and boom, it was able to come for that extra 3 millimeters. And apart from that, it's been really good. Like, I don't play a lot of like GameCube. I'm playing like Luigi's Mansion. It's not a lot of Twitch stuff, and I'm not a fighter, that sort of stuff. And I actually think the only difference really is like the Wavebird comes with the selectable frequencies, and these are like your receiver doesn't have the little dial on the bottom, so they're just paired, and that's it. You know? And so if you lose that is really useless, unlike a Wavebird where you could buy another receiver.
You have 8 channels, don't you, I think, on the original?
Something like that, yeah.
It's
so,
about 8 channels.
So that's the problem with these. That's the only problem, is if you lost the receiver, then this is going to be totally useless. But like for $50, and like even if I could afford a Wavebird, which would probably cost me about $200, I really don't know if I would use it.
Is that how much they cost over there?
It would cost me about $200 to get one in good shape. I think I could get a controller for about $50 or $60, but the receiver is always the expensive part. I'm looking at receivers even from Japan.
They're expensive.
Around $120 for one that's sort of like still working, guaranteed working and stuff. So, yeah.
That's really expensive, man.
But that's why I went for these, because I kind of don't care. You know, they're just kind of, they do the job, and there's zero difference, zero lag, zero. I've literally sat here and played Luigi's Mansion with Will's Wavebird, and then literally put it down, plugged the one in, and went. And I wasn't a feeling of like, oh, this feels, I was just like, I am still enjoying the game. I am not distracted from the game. So,
yeah, man.
For $50, good. You know? Yeah, I think it's the same one sold by 4 different companies. And I messaged the guy I bought by Facebook Marketplace, and I was like, oh, you forgot to mention that, because they both had the same problem. So I was like, this is a crappy molding issue, and I see why you sold them. And I'd never use them. I just had them laying around. Sure, whatever, buddy. I got a good deal.
Well, luckily you've got the knowledge to get it fixed anyway.
Yeah, that's right. There's a reason. So yeah, man. Wow. I mean, like, it's different to do it for yourself, right? But there's more to Sean, a whole lot more than just this, but it's obviously a really big part of your life at the moment, because it's a real extension. Like, you've gone from sort of like Bruce Banner to Hulk, you know, fashion. But it's a real different feeling to, oh, I'm going to play with this Game Boy on Sunday hour with a cuppa and the football because I want to. Sean, for some reason, the GameCube in Birmingham has just stopped working, and we've actually got a competition.
That's what happened last week.
You get the same phone call like 2 minutes later going, oh, the N64 in Liverpool has shit itself.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, prioritize, people counting on me. Yeah. This is no longer a hobby. And it's, I think it's very brave of people to make the decision to take their hobby that step further. You're either super passionate or you're in for a really rough ride. I think you're super passionate.
Yeah, well, I really am. I genuinely am. And I'm as truthful as I can possibly be. And I the novelty just hasn't worn off at all. And I've been doing it for about 4 months now, mate.
Yeah.
And just going and repairing, going in and sitting down with a GameCube and changing the optical laser, adjusting the laser pot, and burning discs on site and trying to, you know, figuring out, you know, troubleshooting GameCubes. Why isn't this certain revision of Swiss working properly? And that might sound like a whole lot of just nonsense to people that don't know about GameCube mods, but to go and learn all these different things about all these different mods and learn how they work and how to fix them is massive for me. And the novelty just doesn't worn off. So I'm feeling really lucky.
I'm surprised you haven't gone for the 110%. The GC loader for the GameCubes.
I've got one. I've just recently got one done.
I love it. I'm such a fan. I bought like a 512 gig SD card. I'm like, that is a shit tin of SD card. And I had no other reason in my life ever until I got this thing. And I was like, yeah, I'm good to go.
They're good, aren't they? I've just recently had a GC loader delivered because the optical lasers, you get issues. So it's essentially, it's the same thing. It's just one's got a laser, one hasn't. So you eliminate one fault entirely by getting a GC loader.
The beautiful thing is that, like, you can see mine here. This is the optical laser, the whole chassis. You're literally just, I don't know what you've seen, but you're literally just take out 1,000 screws and open it up. You unplug that because it drops down to a little header, and then you use it into the original sort of chassis shield, and you put it on top, and that's that. You're done. So even if you have a GC, even if you have a GameCube that's in fully functional, now might be the time to put your laser on ice. You do no other modification to it. So if you're all about prosperity, you can take your childhood laser, put in a nice, you know, lice bag and store it away, and then one day you just pop it back in and it's 100% authentic, like it was. So
I was just going to say, I'm thinking about doing that because these issues happen with the laser. I'm thinking about, right, what's the next step there? Then is it GC loader? So I've got a GC loader and I've had a good look at it and had a mess about with it. And I'm going to see how that one works and see if there's any problems with that. And if not, then we could be looking at maybe replacing or, you know, upgrading some of these optical laser mods with GC loaders instead.
Same as my PS1, I did the X station on, and like, that was pretty challenging for me. You got to lift some pins off a small IC, but that's the same. It's just SD card and it's just, it's just,
I've got one of those as well.
Yeah. And I guess it's really good for the operators of the places to not have to worry about discs and, you know, drunk peeps going, oh, just give me the Tekken, and then just going to hate this game and being gooses and stuff. So you just
don't. People get drunk. Yeah, the people are there and they're having a good time and they're getting drunk and people drink a bit too much sometimes and things happen.
Yeah, that's right.
I've repaired an N64 that's got beer inside of it. Not slushing around, but it's gone in there and the buttons are sticky and now it's really difficult to use. So I take it back. I covered that as well. Yeah. I covered that on a post. Clean it all up inside and out.
Yeah.
I mean, contacts clean.
This is no different to having a $20,000 pool table, you know, and you've got to deal with the fact that someone might tear your felt or spill beer all over it. As a business, you're like, you can be a great pub, but at the end of the day, if you're offering something else, then you're going to attract those people that probably,
of course,
are more inclined to enjoy it. And there's going to be mishaps. We've all spilt beer in our own homes. It's going to happen in the real world.
Of course.
So, I guess we kind of like, we jumped quite ahead. My mind just sort of raced all over the place and I was sort of just flicking through. But the PVM thing, would you say that's because you actually have like two instances. One is, did somebody say retro? And one is, did somebody say PVM? So it's obviously something that you're quite passionate about. I know that, like maybe be a feedback for you that, because a lot of time that you're reposting and resharing other people's really nice PVM content. And I think something that's come up in conversation I've had is that there are people that do this for people. They probably don't do it the right way. There's a little bit like, you know, down in the words down the bottom, it's somewhere it'll say, oh, by the way, this content actually belongs to someone else. But yours always
been a victim of that. Yeah.
I'm sure most people have, but yours is not. Yours is 100% like, check out this shit.
Creator.
This person did this. And it's really kicking the can for other people. So obviously PVM is, you appreciate the work that, the cost, the work it takes to get a good shot. I've sat here with Gav and Noztec, and he's like, turn the brightness down and do this and get this distance so you get it in between the frequency and blah, 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 blah. He doesn't claim to be an expert, but some of the shots that Noztec does of like a lot
incredible.
What's the freaking the game where you're like running around shooting and driving?
GTA. He does a lot of GTA stuff.
On his deck with a beer next to it, and I'm just like, and it looks like a massive screen. He's like, that's a little 6-inch. I'm like, what?
When I see that, I want to reach my hand in.
Yeah, yeah.
And just take that beer and sit down and take a pad and play on that PVM. Yeah, I love that about it. He's one of my favorite PVM creators, Noztec. I love his stuff. Absolutely love it.
That's great content when it makes you want to be part of what that person is doing.
Yeah.
It's key. Absolutely. When you listen to a podcast or you look at someone's Insta and you're like, oh, that game looks great. I'm going to actually go play that now, sort of thing. So obviously the PVM is big for you. When did you sort of get onto the PVM thing? Did this happen like early in your kind of, I guess, like after the Game Boy stuff, or was it a very recent thing? And
It's recent. I didn't really know much about them until, let's say, a year and a half ago, something like that, about 18 months.
Right.
I've seen them floating around on the internet. And I loved the look of the 6-inch PVM, the 6041 QM. I absolutely adored it, and I just needed it.
I know it's gorgeous, but it's so tiny. Like I
love it, man. Yeah. It's just something. There's just something about it that I adore. Yeah. Just the fact that it's all just the work that's gone into fitting all of that in such a long, tiny. The casing, I love it. But so I really wanted one of those 6-inch PVMs. I ended up finding out what it was called. I ended up getting one. It just went from there, man. And I discovered about the RGB thing. I never really knew much about that. So I figured I learned about RGB. I learned about how to hook it up properly. In the first video, when I said unboxing my first PVM, I wired it up wrong. Like I didn't do it properly.
What do you mean?
I think I put the sink in the wrong place or something. I think I put the sink in the wrong one. So I didn't actually do it quite right because I didn't really know too much what I was doing. I was kind of winging it, but I did my research at the same time. But I think that's a pretty cool thing to keep in there.
Well, so you weren't going to damage it. You were just going to kind of desired result on the screen.
No, but it's realistic as well. Sometimes you do plug in something differently figuring out something for the first time or something. Sure. So, but then after that, I sort of kept looking into it, researching it more, getting into some Facebook groups, learning more about it, how to get the best screen quality, one of the cool things I learned how to do is how to hook it up so you could listen to what you're playing on with headphones on, in stereo sound. I'm sure it was stereo. Yeah. And it's great. I loved it, man. So, I did that. And the reason why did Somebody Say PVM is because over the last 4 years with Did Somebody Say Retro, I've developed my own, let's call it like a formula on how to put together a page and how to make a schedule and how to do things in a certain way. And I thought that I could use this to benefit the community a bit more. I wanted to give something back. I wanted to support people that probably wouldn't get put on the top of like the Sony PVM hashtag page very often because they've not got loads of followers, but they're great content creators. So I was looking at thinking, what can I do? Is there something I can do to support other people? And also because with the same reason why I made Did Somebody Say Retro is I wanted to connect with more people. I wanted to meet more people that have got PVMs, and I wanted to learn more. I wanted to see more models. And it was just, and I thought if I just make a page. So yeah, if I made a page now,
yeah,
I've already got my formula. I haven't got to figure anything out. I already know how to make good content. I know about hashtags. I know when to post, how to do stories properly.
Yeah.
I wanted to make an example of how to share other people's content. How you do it in a way where you're literally saying, this is not mine. This is Super Sparksters. This is Noztex, or this is Bloodshot Digitals. You know, the very first line is their creator. It says creator, their name. Yeah. You touch the picture, it's tagged right in the middle of the screen. You look at the story, as big as I possibly can, I put their name. Yeah. And yeah, it's just a celebration, a way of meeting more people, a way of learning more, and just, yeah, just trying to just give something back. It doesn't take much for me to screenshot somebody's photograph and then share it on Did Somebody Say PVM and tag the hell out of it. Mm. But it means that people, I've seen people connect and start following each other through my page.
For sure.
And that's awesome. And that's why I do it. That is why I do it. If I wanted to be one of these other guys that I've had to have a conversation with someone before, where he's took loads of my content, like, I mean, one after another on his whole page, and words his captions in a way that makes it sound like it's his collection. And then he'll hide my tag within like the hashtags. And I message him saying, come on, man. Like, I don't mind you using my stuff. I've given you permission.
Yeah.
But that's just, you know, I know what you're doing. I've been doing this a long time. And I don't think I've ever had to really do that before. I think someone else did it before where they literally cloned my page. And then as soon as I messaged them, they blocked me, I think. So they could just, the annoying thing is if they block you, you can't see them. So they can just keep doing it to you.
So they're still out there. You've got to
block
it.
Them first. Yeah, probably. So
it's disappointing, isn't it? Like, it's just disappointing that people can't just, I get it. People want to, they want to get the thing rolling and all that sort of stuff, but at the same time,
someone else's expense.
It's only a matter of a few lines above and below, and it's, I think we all have to make a bit of a moral decision too. I mean, there's a couple, like, I really think that the GameCube was possibly, if I was into it, it would have been the one that I really latched onto, having one now and having everything from a Mega Drive to a PS2. And there's a few GameCube ones that I've like you know, Did Somebody Say PVM. And there's very little credit given. And I personally make the decision that I can't follow this person because there's no way. Because you can tell by the different styles of photography, and you can tell by just the rooms it's in and that. There's no way. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I can't support this person because this is not a page of memes where a meme's made and no one gives a shit. I want the whole world to see it. So that's different. It's kind of like it's free game, but... Yeah, when someone puts the effort in to take a photo of a PVM, because if you know what you're looking at, you're like, yeah. And then that other person doesn't give the credit for it. I think we need to make the decision and say, you know what? Sorry, buddy. I
don't support them.
Yeah, it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
I'm absolutely, like, I get humbled when someone says, can I share your content? Or after somebody say retro. I love it. I absolutely love it. Like, feel free. Anybody can share whatever they want of mine.
Yeah.
Just do it the right way. Just if you're unsure of how to share someone's content, go on to Did Somebody Say PVM and see how I do it, because I believe that is the right way of doing it. It's the very first line that you can put the creator, say creator, and say who it is.
Yeah.
And then push everything to them every time, because they're the guys that make it, man. And if we support them, they're going to stick around longer. They're going to keep making, you know, Noztex is going to keep making content. And that makes me happy because I like seeing his content.
Yeah.
So it's not a lot for me to run that page, but I know that it can go a long way and support people. So that's one way of me giving something back.
It can be as simple as, I think I've used a couple of repost apps. I only recently realized how to repost something to a story in Instagram on my Android app. And I was like, oh, I've been doing this the hardest way possible. But even if you're like reposting a post, it can be as simple as at the top, just putting reposted from.
Yeah.
And that's it. And all of a sudden the person goes, so everything from here on is actually from there. And there's times where I'll actually like just go, okay, I'll give you the like, and then I'll just go there and look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like that as well. So it's not hard to kind of just be decent. Yeah, you know, so anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I like the PVMs. I could see me wanting one. I mean, I won't go on too much. It sounds like I'm in love with Gav Noztec, but he gave me a little, I've got a 29-inch Trinitron, a flat one, which is really nice. And I can sort of sit about 2.5 meters back from it and have a really good time. And it's pretty good for all the consoles, but he gave me this little sort of like 14-inch NEC CRT. And it just has this crispness to it. Him and I talked about TVL and a whole bunch of little bits and pieces. And again, he doesn't claim to be an expert, but he knows enough as to how many thousands of dollars he's going to spend on a 6-inch CRT, you know, so he knows what he's talking about. And even just getting that, you know, the GameCube through the little 14-inch versus the 29, I've sat here for like an hour because I've got the GC loader and just played intros to like 50 games just to see them play on this little 14-inch. And I'm thinking in my head, if I had like a 14-inch PVM, this would take a lot longer because I would just like more and more and more and more. And more.
Yeah.
And I can
go on, what were you saying? Sorry.
Yeah, you're right. I think that, and especially like you put in with those posts, you know, the model and stuff. And you know, I can see one of the comments, some people will be like, oh, I've got that, but I get all these weird like scan lines or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And you can see it. One of the good things about Instagram versus other social media is it's really a conversation. It's a bunch of photos that you look at and you either you like it or you generally move on. And the conversations are more like, where could I buy one of those? Or I can't believe you have this. Or I don't know, a 12-year-old's like, you suck. And that's really about it. So when you have your posts and people actually saying, no, mate, you can get this. You just need to blah, blah, blah. And that's just that extra little cherry on top of, you know, that sort of purity of that that channel, you know, whatever Instagram calls it. So it's win.
Yeah, I think I try and put that across in Discord as well. My Discord is almost at 100 members, and there's certain rooms in there. And there's a PVMs, a CRT room, and there's two guys, I can't remember their tag, but there's like a couple of guys that are just like so knowledgeable on PVMs and they help everybody out. So that's people have questions, they go into the Discord channel, they say, where's the best place to get this one? They'll put up a picture and they'll say, what do you think is wrong with this CRT and how can I fix it? And then and these guys just go in and just help them. And there's no cost, there's no fee, there's no rules. You just click the link, you just click the invitation, go in, anyone can go in, you can go in right now. And it's just free advice. If you just want any help, just go in, ask a question. And we'll help you. So
that's right. I'll get some links to things like this later off you and put all that in the show notes, because that's an incredible resource to have. Especially, I guess, if you're, I can't remember what Gav paid for his 6-inch. It was like a couple of $1,000 or something, or his 9-inch or something. Like, he paid good money for it, but he'd also probably spent some time in spaces like you're talking about, researching, understanding the risks, you know, even just buying one. I mean, the one that he brought, I think the 9-inch was like, let's just say roughly the size of a shoebox, but the shoebox was full of concrete. It's a heavy little sucker, and it's got a handle on top, like a fishing tackle box kind of thing, you know? So just to get that shipped to your house is a quite an overhead. So to sort of know... to go into your Discord and go, all right, so this dude's got this for X dollars. He says he thinks it works. What is the likelihood that I'm going to spend this money and get myself a brick? And you guys will be able to say, they are rock solid. Unless it's been through a nuclear blast, you are going to get your money's worth, you know? And it just allows you to kind of get in there and not... We've all had a hobby where we're throwing too much money at it until we realize, oh, shit, I'm doing this wrong. And there's learning in that. There's also, I'd rather have all that money back, please.
the thing is people in the community, 99.9% of us in the community, we have no problem helping each other. We've got no issues giving out advice. We don't expect nothing in return. We just we're absolutely cool with it. And that's one thing that I've always noticed about the retro gaming community is that people don't think twice. Almost everybody, they don't think twice about helping you out. And answering your questions. So yeah, setting up that Discord thing's new to me. I've only had it for a few weeks, I think. But it's going from strength to strength. I've learned how to make emojis. So I've made like little 8-bit, like super, like Dr. Mario with his thumb up.
What else have
I made? Like an 8-bit heart, like from Zelda.
Zelda 2, I think. So, did somebody say PVM is kind of like your secondary account? And that's, I don't like to talk numbers, but that's over 8,000 followers. And that's your side project. So I guess at the end of the day, because it's very specific, it gives a clear indication. Like I've got a couple of thousand followers, but I've been on Instagram for like a few years and I've been through like five hobbies. And I can guarantee if I've got 3,000 followers, 2,800 of them don't give a shit about me anymore. So they're just like, maybe they died or they just don't use it and it makes no difference because it's the same 12 or 13 people that are liking my shit. So, but you're working on this and you've got to feel that that's a very kind of like a measurable number because PVMs are only just that one gorgeous thing.
It's just, I think I brought my I don't like to call it a formula, but it's the only really word I can think of. But
everybody has a recipe,
A recipe of running a page. So I took that because when I did somebody say retro, I didn't even have one of the ingredients or one of the steps when I first started somebody say
retro. It's like, hey, I'm Sean, that's what I like.
And that was it. And I've figured it out over time, trial and error. So I've took what I've learned and I've use that under somebody say PVM from post number one, and there's only one difference from any of the first half of the post, the second half, and that was like something I put in the caption. I added about the Discord server. I think that's the only thing that's different, and everything else is exactly the same formula, same way with the stories, same with the posts, same with the how you tag people, same time, same days. So it's good to see that it's taken off, and for something that's quite niche as PVMs, and it is niche, but it's obviously grown popularity, as is the price. The prices are growing, getting higher and higher.
Always the problem when crazy. People talk about cool shit. I mean, you look at sort of Elliot that, he must be kicking himself now because he was in on a good thing and everybody's like, this is so cool. And all of a sudden now, I think even he's feeling the pain of, the cost of everything. So PVM, so I'm looking at a picture here, which I believe is probably your room. So it's sort of like a bigger CRT in the middle. And then you've got like two probably 6 inches with about a 9-inch on top and another 6-inch on top of that. And then to the right is around about a 14-inch. And then two funky dudes that kind of look like a couple of little 6 inches with a bunch of stuff on the side. So you've got 5, 6, 7 there in screen. Are you done? Like, that's a lot to have.
What you can see.
Right. I've got more. I didn't want to ask just in case. You weren't going to admit it.
I want to make it clear that I'm not a hoarder. So those
seems
three,
a little bit
three,
like six you
inch,
are,
though. I'm not. Those 3 6-inch, two of them are faulty. Okay, right. So only one of those works.
Does that bug the shit out of you? Sitting on your couch going, if only I could make them go, I'd feel so much better about myself.
Yeah. That's why I bought them, because I want to do that. I want to eventually learn how to fix them, but that's a whole process, and I just don't feel at the time I'm ready for that. So I'm going to do it when I feel ready, and I'm going to rush into it. I like to save things and do things. I like to save mods for a while until I really, really want to do them, and then I get the most.
Then you
out
give
of
it
them.
The wholehearted thing. Maybe your Discord will sort of stir up, someone that's really adept at it in your local area, and you'll be able to kind of reach out and
absolutely.
You might be able to get together as a group, when the world's allowed to get. I don't know what it's like in your part of the woods at the moment, but to get together, 3 or 4 of you at someone's place at a bench, and this person's like, okay, let's go in. It's kind of like a bunch of wannabe doctors standing around a surgeon going, this is how you do a heart bypass kind of thing, That'd be pretty amazing. And make sure you kind of record that, or like make something out of it, because I think there'd be a lot of people that would get a lot of joy out of just seeing inside them and not having to do it themselves. So you've got
you've
got seven there.
So yeah, there's a. I'm trying to think if there's which post are you on? I'm trying to think where you are.
It's
on the
like
page.
It's only a day ago. It's got the GTA car in blue going south.
So I wonder if there's a post where you can see the other ones. I don't think there is. No, there's probably is. Oh, if you go down a bit more, there's one of my Philips Discoverer. And then, have you seen the Philips Discoverer before? The Spaceman helmet.
Oh, is that with the 2600 running through it?
Yeah, you've seen it.
So what is that exactly? Because I did see that. I was like, that is mad.
So that is sitting on the left-hand side of the, you know, that PVM pyramid?
Yeah.
Just to the left-hand side, that's sitting on a shelf with a Trinitron, a 14-inch Trinitron underneath it.
Yeah, oh my
gosh. That Philips Discoverer was made in the 80s. It was made in the 80s to celebrate the NASA's first space shuttle launch.
What?
So, yeah, that's a spaceman's, that's an astronaut's helmet, and you can lift the visor up.
You've actually got a shot which is kind of like from the door looking back at the window. I can see the guitar, and you can see it down there below the window. And you can sort of see on the top of it, it's got like a little bit where the, I mean, now you describe it as a helmet. I'm like, of course,
just
it's
pull
a
it up.
Helmet.
That visor pulls up and out, and then the what's it called? The remote control is based on the boosters as well.
Oh,
it's modeled
gosh.
On them. It's so cool. That's probably my favorite one, to be honest, aesthetically. So then there's the 14-inch Trinitron.
Yeah, the 2600 is, it's the Atari 2600 is actually still quite pricey around here. Like for one in good shape that isn't kind of like if it's a Woody. To have one, to find one where it isn't kind of all buffed up and, you know, the veneer isn't peeling and stuff and looks like it probably runs, you're still looking about $150 Australian probably around here from someone who knows what they've got. A Vader, maybe a bit cheaper. A Junior, often you see like a Vader and a Junior being sold together for like $300 in good condition.
Yeah.
And it's something, the 2600 is something that I want to have.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just so afraid that I will kind of go, it's just like 16-bit is kind of where I really feel comfortable as far as the art, the audio. The 2600 to me is like, that's gaming. Like you love this dude that has arms made of squares running across the heads of crocodiles, or you don't. You sort of need to have grown up with that. Did you kind of grow up with the 2600, or is it things like the space helmet and you're like, if I stick a 2600 in that, I love it, it's fine?
No, I never had any Atari or anything until, I've never even played on one until about a month ago when I bought that one. And I just got that from my next door neighbor.
Yeah,
they said they found this out the loft.
Man, you and your neighbors.
Yeah, man. So they found that at the loft and they said if I wanted to buy it, and I just thought it was a good price. I thought, yeah, okay. So I've got that in a stack of games as well. So in that Discoverer shot, you can see the games that came with it as well.
Galaxian or whatever's in
really,
there.
I like it.
I think the other thing is that if I'm going to buy a console, I need to know that there's some sort of because everything I have is either an EverDrive, you know, or an ODE, an optical drive emulator. The NES, I only bought it for Tetris, so I just bought that and a car, and it just, that's where it lives. It's effectively just it could be called a Tetris machine. So I have looked into like flash cuts for the VCS, and they kind of come and go. There's been multiple, there's been varying reports of quality and consistency, and that's the only thing that kind of, I don't want to buy carts at all.
Yeah,
I'm the type where I'm not really a collector. I'm more of an experiencer, and I would rather leave the carts out there for the people that want to collect and have. And I'll just keep using the EverDrive, and I'm fine with it.
Cool, man.
But the 2600 will be fun. A nice Woody in good shape.
Yeah,
would be nice just to sort of have sitting there. Do you find it sort of fun? Like, do you enjoy the 2600?
I do like it. It's cool to see Donkey Kong on there because I believe that was the first time we saw Mario.
Right.
Was in Donkey Kong. So
isn't that crazy?
So that's the reason. It's mad. Mad. So I bought that because I wanted to get that game, which I've now have. I just haven't plugged it in yet. I like to, even though I'm not really drawn to it as much because that's not what I played when I was younger.
Yeah.
I like to see what was before. Sort of the NES. I was a bit interested in, you know, what why do people love the Atari so much? What is it that what is it that came before the NES? And I was just intrigued just to see what it was like. And I'll probably open one up, to be honest, and have a look at inside as well and just get some and using joysticks as well. That was weird.
Yeah, hold it in your hand and stuff. Like I grew up with a Commodore 64 and it was a similar joystick. Yeah, and you're kind of like trying to keep this thing still and, you know, moving the stick around and one button and stuff. I think like mid last year, I saw on a local like marketplace a copy of ET in the box for like $45 bucks. And I was like, I should just buy it because it's such a important part of history. And it, you know, the game cops so much shit, but I think those that really look beyond it go, you know what, the dude had a lot of pressure. And I think it's, you know, it's such an intriguing kind of like catalyst as to, you know, any kind of sort of retro gaming magazine or whatever it says, ET caused the crash and killed Atari. It's like, yeah, not really. I think it was kind of like a bunch of hobnobs sitting somewhere that said this needs to be done by Christmas that kind of killed it. And it'd be nice.
They go into that on if you ever watched on Netflix, High Score.
Yeah, that's really good.
They cover it on there, don't they?
Yeah, it's really good. It's a good way of putting it. It's like, no, it wasn't all me. I could have done better, but I would have needed about another 6 to 9 months to do better. So up yours. Hey, I think we mentioned it before, but your post, just anybody that's like reading along, the post below the Discoverer is a couple of looks like PlayStation SpongeBob controllers. And you said before, because you saw in behind me, no one else can see it, is a SpongeBob DS case. And you're like, what's that? And you're like, oh, I've got a bit of a thing for SpongeBob. So, tell us about your thing for SpongeBob.
I think it spawned from when I bought a controller from, I got a controller on Facebook Marketplace, a sealed GameCube controller that a guy bought back from America when he went on holiday, never opened it. Yeah. It's a GameCube controller, official GameCube controller, with SpongeBob's face on it and his nose and everything. And I bought it and I got it for like a tenner and it, I never saw, I've only just recently saw one selling. I think it sells for over 200 sealed. So it's crazy. I can't believe the fact, it's one of those things that I got and I look back at it and think, how did I get that? Like, I was just at the right place at the right time. And I think it came from that. And there's just lots of different, there's loads of different controllers and just weird stuff.
What's this Wu-Tang thing you've come out from?
Oh, there's the control. Oh, that control pad. Yeah, that's another control pad.
PlayStation. I mean, that's bonkers. That seems super uncomfortable.
It's horrible. It's awful. It's such bad quality, but it's in the shape of the Wu-Tang logo. Man,
taste the pain as this controller gives you permanent arthritis. Because that's the name of the game. Wu-Tang, taste the pain. Oh, man.
SpongeBob's there's loads of cool stuff that's come from the back of that and the gaming stuff, so I don't know, it's just one of them things I just decided that I like.
So it's nice to find a little niche within a niche within a niche within a niche.
What sort of other
SpongeBob-y coolness, you know, things you like, sort of little prized possessions you've
I've got? My missus bought me the full set. Do you ever remember that they brought out a lolly, like an ice cream, a SpongeBob ice cream? And then I think it went viral because when people would open them up and they melted, it looked really like weird. And I think it went viral because like his eyes would be like running down. I think they were red maybe. And it looked really horrific.
Right.
And then Nickelodeon brought out four things that you put on display and all the lollies in different, with different faces, so they've all melted in different ways.
Oh, wow.
And I got all four of them. And nice. Missy's got them for me.
That's good.
So I got those as well. Some of the SpongeBob stuff, I just can't think of them right now.
Yeah.
There's those controllers there. Those are the ones. There's Patrick and SpongeBob PlayStation.
It's such a weird little thing. That's really good that they bought into it and kind of went, and we're kind of being laughed at. Let's laugh with them. And, I'm imagining some sort of like Salvador Dali, you know, with the melting clock and the horrible face. And I think it was that guy.
Yeah, he is.
So would you say, and I guess it probably gets challenging, like I spoke to a few people that like they stream and, you know, maybe make some content and stuff, or they really put their kind of modding of Game Boys. They kind of put it into an extra gear by kind of making a bit of cash off and stuff like that. So would you say that what you've been doing and now moving into the NQ64, how does that affect, like, Sean as the collector gamer just still enjoying it? Like, does it give you a different angle? Do you look at other stuff, or do you kind of get your scratch itched by these other activities and you can kind of just relax with what you got and there's less hunting required to feel like you're, you know, part of the tribe or whatever, however you want to put it?
Yeah, I mean, if I understand the question correctly, I mean, I don't, I used to spend a lot of time making Game Boys to sell, to make money. Yeah. And I've done that in the past. And there are elements of it that I like and elements that I don't like. So at the moment, I'm modding for myself, and I get a real kick out of that.
Yeah.
It takes a bit of pressure off as well if you're doing something for the first time. So if I'm doing a Game Boy Color, the new Q5 XL IPS mod, there's quite a bit of soldering. There's not loads, but there's some really fiddly soldering in that.
Yeah.
I like to do it for myself for the first time, and I get a lot of enjoyment out of that. And like I said, there's no pressure. When you do like them en masse, and you do like 10 Game Boys for Christmas, which I've done before, you get under pressure. And then you know, you're doing it for a different reason. The thing is that's different with NQ64 is although that I'm doing it and I'm getting paid for it, I'm employed by them, so I get the same each month now. And I work a set amount of hours a week. And it's the thing is with that, though, is the novelty hasn't wore off because I've not really got anyone like... When I'm doing loads of Game Boys at the same time, people are waiting for them. People are sitting there waiting for them to get done. With NQ64, it's just I'm kind of left to it and just to crack on and schedule all my work in my own way. And so I don't.
And it's so varied too.
I don't get that same feeling. Yeah, exactly. It's just really, really across.
Yeah.
It's over so many different consoles. There's so many different bits and pieces to do.
Yeah.
There's no, like, I haven't got loads of different customers waiting for these different mods that are all customized.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. And then I still, it has not affected me in any way with regards to my interest in Game Boys or how much I want to play them.
As other consoles as well, you know.
It's not changed anything since day one. I still love them and I'm as fascinated by them as I ever have been. It's never changed anything.
I mean, I even talk to some people like that I've had on that stream, and I'm like, how much then does it affect whether you're going to fork out like $40 for a particular, like Oz90s Kid and Taco Games Australia, they both stream. And they're very much about like using legitimate hardware. John Oz90's Kid, if it can't, he just captures it like on his PC. But if it's not like just like a normal RCA composite kind of setup, then he's like, I'm not doing it. It's very rare. He'll use another way because, you know, maybe a power supply has died and he's like, I promised I would play Sonic the Hedgehog tonight and I got to do it. But otherwise, he's very legitimate. And it's like, so how does that affect what you buy then? Like, you might not buy this cart off eBay for $45 normally, but you're like, I can stream it as well. Or even like walking through the shops and going, that's a really cool PlayStation shirt. I'm buying it because I can wear it on the stream. And it just helps me kind of add that little bit more. I mean, do you kind of look into more stuff? Because now you might be like, say you don't run PC Engines or TurboGrafx, you know, any of the sites. Mm-hmm. You're like, I think that could be cool. I think I'm actually going to pick a couple up and start looking down that path as well. You know, there must be, your mind must be a little like a bit kind of champing at the bit to sort of look at what else can I do for these guys and at the same time enjoy my hobby on that little broader spectrum.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So I'm always coming up with different ideas, and I've put different ideas across, and there are things in, that stage where we're seriously talking about different things that we can do. So I do look when I'm out and about and when I'm on the internet and I see new mods and see these new, you know, say like a new Everdrive will come out or something like that, and I will put that in the, I'll put that in my back of my mind, or I'll write it down, and then there'll be a discussion. So I always have that in my mind. So when I'm out and about or seeing these new things on the internet, I'm either looking at it to see if I'm interested in it and you guys would like to see it on my page, or would NQ64 like it as well? Would that work there? So I've always got my eyes open. I'm always both.
I guess probably the most common thing would be for most of those consoles that are in the NQ64 sites would be HDMI out. Am I right?
Yeah.
That would be because it's all going to be LCDs, and there's nothing worse than a terrible HDMI image of a console we've all grown up. When I say we, I'm just like whoever's listening, whatever, that we love. I mean, things like the GameCubes and the PlayStations just seem to just almost like they were born for HDMI. Yeah.
With the PAL consoles, GameCube outputs RGB, PS1 outputs RGB, so does PS2, the Super Nintendo, the Dreamcast, Xbox, they all output RGB, so it's like they're ready to go for PVMs. You don't need to modify them.
In 20 years, the kids are going to love this shit.
But the HDMI mods, I changed the settings on the Ultra HDMI mod in Birmingham 2 days ago to 1080p, did a little couple of little other adjustments, and the quality from that is unbelievable. I've never seen... there's two Ultra HDMI mods in the business. The other one's in... Oh, there's two others, actually. There's Manchester. There's Northern Quarter in Liverpool. And this one in Birmingham, the quality, I just couldn't get over it. It's just insane. Absolutely insane. But Ultra HDMI mods are good if you're playing on a new TV. And then obviously CRT, you want to get RGB.
Yeah, I mean, I've looked into HDMI for my GameCube. There's two reasons why. I spoke to Joe about it, one that he recommends, which is it's like an adapter from Kaico, K-A-I-C-O, which
I think he's shared it before.
The digital display port, which mine has, the output. The two reasons, the first reason is it currently runs through my Sony 29-inch Trinitron, which I love. Like I said before, on the 14-inch, if I took it to the living room and put it through the LCD, through the Bravia, I think it would probably stay there. I like to kind of experience things the way they were meant to be experienced. So I would probably actually need to buy a second GameCube and a second GC loader. And that's just stupidity. And the other thing is, looking at them, like they're about £60 sterling, which is around about $112 to $115 Australian. So by the time I got one here, it could end up anywhere up around nearly $200 mark. So it's a big commitment to lose it to the other room and put that money into it.
Because I
really don't want to have to go inside. Like I said, with the GC loader, I've just unscrewed everything. And if I ever want to put it back, I just put it back. So I assume the ones that you're working with, they're all being like internally modded, and it's just plugging them back off your trot.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's advantages to those versus, I mean, this adapter, I've sort of looked into it, and if Joe says it's freaking fantastic, then I'm sure it is.
You can trust Joe. He does, man. He's the GameCube king and the Dreamcast king. Any Dreamcast and Game Boy as well. Any questions I've got with that, I always go straight to Joe, man, and he always helps me out.
So how high do you, what's the highest sort of, or the youngest generation, like with, especially I guess with NQ64 is a bit of a focus for you at the moment, but even in your own experience, do you sort of go up to PS2 and sort of go, well, after that, we're now in a different realm? I mean, do you own a PS5 and an Xbox? And I've no doubt you've got a Switch. Everybody in the world has a Switch except me.
Absolutely.
But with, say, NQ, let's sort of attack that side. Like, where does it stop? Where do you draw the line for what consoles you put in them, in those sites?
In NQ64?
Yeah.
It doesn't go further than the GameCube.
Right, so Dreamcast is in there then?
Possibly, that could be possible in the future.
Right.
Okay. It's not in there at the moment.
Yeah.
We've got GameCube, Mega Drive,
PS1,
SNES, PS1.
So not PS2 because
N64.
Right.
We've got a PS2 in one of the sites. It's a backup. So if something breaks, you can throw it in.
Yeah.
So we've got one. Yeah. We've got one that's ready to go. And that was back in temporarily this week.
Right.
Until I went back and fixed the GameCube, and then the GameCube got put back in.
It's a smart move.
So, yeah, it's just you've got to have something on standby, just in case. But it's for me, I personally, and I think a lot of people may agree, I don't think the library of games on the PS2 for multiplayer is as solid as things like the GameCube. It's got some fantastic single player games. Yeah, it's got things like Time Splitters. I totally get that. Yeah. But then it's like GTA. Okay, that for me PS2. I'm playing PS2 later today. Yeah. I'm dedicating at least 3 or 4 hours to going into my room today.
Wow.
And I'm playing a game called Ico, which I've been waiting to play for ages. But I also might put on GTA San Andreas. And these are like single player games that the PS2 do really, really well. I think for multiplayer, it's just not that good. So we don't go further than that. We sort of stay it. We get up to GameCube and then it sort of stops there. And then all the rest of the cabinets are like Time Crisis 2, Point Blank. And then you go back to like Space Invaders, Galaga, Donkey Kong Jr. There's all sorts, man.
The GameCube was kind of the sweet spot. I know that, like, I was saying to you before, I catch up with a couple of people once a month, and I've been taking along, like, the Mega Drive or the SNES or the, you know, we took the NES for a bit of Tetris and the PS2. My PS2 runs OPL, open something loader for, it runs, like, runs off a memory card, and I've got the FAT, so the drive adapter just goes in the back. So everything runs.
I've got the fat one as well.
I've got a fat one too. Look at him. That's so silly. That's a dad joke for you. I know. I told you there'd be a couple. But so the drive just goes in the back, so you can just sort of like, it's basically an ODE, I guess, in a lot of ways. And I've got like multi-tap for the SNES and one for the Mega Drive, and there's fun to be had there, like Micro Machines and stuff. But the GameCube for multiplayer for four of us, it's just too much fun. It's almost like we should just turn up with the GameCube and that's it. You know, everything we play, we even played like the Smash Tennis or whatever, and no one knew what the hell they were doing. Everybody's just button mashing, and it was just like, bloody Bomberman. Some of these dudes can just play Bomberman like that's their full-time job. I'm shit at it. There's way too much going on. But, you know, Double Dash, there's just so many games on the GameCube that four people can have a really great time with. It's definitely the sweet spot for me. And as I've seen with these, you know, three other dudes, it's really great. So in a bar, they must just be going, oh, it's so much laughing and stuff going on.
It's amazing when, like, when I'm in there and people probably don't know that I work there.
Yeah.
But I've just, you know, just before they've come in, I've just quickly got rid of all my tools, and until 5 minutes before they came in, I just finished fixing the GameCube or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'll come back and I'll sit back, and then I'll just hear people like walk past and go like, oh my God, like it's got Smash Brothers on there. It's really cool to see that. Because when I used to do events as well, and how many CRTs did I take? It was insane. I did it one trip as well.
Wow.
Must have been 9 or 10 to 14-inch silver CRTs I'll take with me in the back of the car.
Yep.
And every single game in my collection and all of my consoles. Oh, and I used to take it to a pub. I used to take my collection.
That is so brave.
To the pub. Mate, I did that about 3 or 4 times and then it sort of fizzled out because of COVID.
Yep.
But the decision I made to do was I bought all of my consoles again. I put all my Game Boy money into setting up my hiring side of the business.
Right.
I trademarked the company, got the insurance, did all the PAT testing, so all the electronics was tested. And I bought loads of silver 14-inch CRTs, and I brought all of my consoles again. So basically, when you were on Digital Retro Retro, you look at my 8 consoles.
Yeah.
That's what I'm taking, yeah. And I used to take my games, but I used to be very careful with them. I did competitions, people won stuff. And then I'd take VHSs as well. So I'd put on like old TV shows from the UK. There was something called SMTV Live, so I got that playing. I got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles playing. I got wrestling tapes from the 90s.
Oh, man.
And then people would come and pay, either the pub would pay me, or I'd sell tickets for like £5 or £6 a pop. And I love doing that. So then that was like, I get that in NQ64, I'm getting the same sort of enjoyment out of it. Cause like I'm looking at it thinking, yeah, I'm responsible for that. Like, I sorted out that in 64. And these people are coming in and they're loving it. And it's the same thing with, do somebody say retro? When I get somebody comment on a post and say, thank you so much for this picture, I've just saved this as my phone wallpaper. That is like, for me, that's okay, job done. That's why I'm here. Like, that's why I'm doing this. Because I just want someone who I've never met, probably never going to meet, look at something I've made and think, oh man, that's really cool that is. And like, maybe have a little smile or think of a memory of playing that game when they were a kid with their best friend they don't see anymore. And just making people feel good. That's all I really want to do.
You don't know what you're tapping into. I mean, I've spoken to a number of people, both yes and not, that, you know, you look through the Insta and they'll be like a photo of them when they were 12 playing Game Boy with their dad. You know, and maybe you don't know, but maybe their dad passed away. And this is a cherished moment. And for someone to walk into a bar with an old video game and go, man, that was some really good times in my life, you know. And like, I guess what you're experiencing, that must be how Santa Claus feels. It just makes everybody happy.
Like a slimmer Santa Claus.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry. You do have quite the beard on you, anybody can tell. And maybe you're like Santa Claus at like, I don't know, 32 instead of like 160 or whatever it is. You've been around.
Or his younger brother.
Yeah, his younger brother. Stephen Claus, maybe. Well, I can totally dig that. I mean, I know the stuff that we've been doing, like I'll say it just one more time, you know, and I will take like the Mega Drive and the NES and sort of I was unlooming them from my, so I've got like two four-way switches kind of like daisy chained together and the power's all down behind it. And it's not as sexy as probably your room and other rooms, but it still works for me. And to pull it out and plug it back in, it just takes that little bit, especially after like 4 hours of gaming. Like, I'm kind of an introvert, and after spending 4 hours with people talking, and it's like, now I need to loom it all back in, because otherwise my OCD is like, they're not plugged in. You don't know they actually work. Shut up. So I just recently bought like a power supply and a video cable for all of my consoles, and they're just in a bag. So effectively I can just unplug the console from the front, grab the power supply and the cable and just trot off. And it's the end result is a lot easier. And I imagine you just did that by about a factor of like 1200. I mean, when you talk about you said I took my collection to the pub, it's a bit like, I hate my life, I'm going to go and do this, because that's a pretty brave move. I'm sure there was some respect involved. You didn't just like rock into the middle of and go, who wants to go with this? It was
it was in a room that was upstairs above the pub. Yeah. It was like a function room with a mini bar inside. And people that went there were respectful of everything. I didn't just have my games sitting there on Crash Bandicoot,
next
1, 2, 3, Crash Bash,
and the chips
sitting there. Mm. Yeah, there's none of that. It was tucked away, and I had someone helping me. And then we'd swap one game at a time and leave the disc in, and then take the case back and put it back away. I've just got a lot of motivation with it, and I just really, really want to do as much as I possibly can. Because I loved everything to do with retro gaming. So any ideas that I had, I just, if I have an idea, I'll go at it 100 miles an hour nonstop until the wheels fall off. And then if it doesn't work, I'll just do something else, and I'll just come with a different idea. That's sort of how it's been.
I can see how NQ64, this situation for you has just been, it's like what you were doing before, but on steroids. And it's just, it's other people's gear, and it's always there. You don't have to move it around. And you're getting that same feeling of like, I'm maintaining, I'm tinkering, I'm expanding, I'm growing. It's keeping me hungry. Mm-hmm. And I get to walk into a room and hear someone laugh because of the shit I'm looking after. I kind of envy you in that way. I mean, I've had jobs a bit like it, but I've also had jobs where it's like, no one gives a shit. you're not having any positive influence on a person's life. In fact, you're probably empowering their boss to make them work harder, if anything. So it's like, that's so good. I envy you.
Years I've felt like that, mate. I've only been working with NQ64 for 1 month properly, and then like 3 months before that I was doing bits. But up until then, nearly every single job I've had, I've absolutely hated. I've not wanted to be there. I've never really, this is the thing I've tried to explain to people before. For some reason, I've just never really felt like, I just fit in or at these particular jobs, because I'm working with a lot of people that I don't share any similar interests with at all.
Yeah,
I've got nothing in common with a lot of people that I've worked with.
Yeah.
And I've worked with like my best friends and stuff, like that's completely different. I enjoyed working with my mates, and obviously we've got everything in common, but a lot of the other, I've had so many different jobs, but the other jobs, just worked with a lot of people that I didn't really get on with, and people that are like way older than me or way younger than me. Different walks of life. Which I sort of enjoy that element, where sometimes where I get to meet lots of different people. But I just spent a lot of time in these jobs where I'm doing something that doesn't mean anything. I'm working for someone who I'm never going to meet, who's sitting in a suit in an office 200 miles away, just getting paid, and they don't really care about me. And then I sort of got this job, and then all of the people that seem to work for NQ64 are just like-minded people.
Yeah.
I've got loads in common with everybody. All of the managers and the staff are really cool. The directors are absolutely sound. And I went out for an opening night for Edinburgh about 3 weeks ago. And I met more people there that work in the company. Okay. And they're just absolutely sound.
It's family,
like,
hey?
It's cool, man. Like, it's the first time I've really just thought, you know what? I'm doing something I love.
Yeah.
And I'm working with people that I genuinely like. Yeah. And it was, it's a really cool feeling. So I'm happy. I feel like I've landed on my feet. And they're just getting bigger and stronger, which is really, really cool to see. It's exciting. And I put everything I can into it, everything I can. So I was saying to someone, Isaac from Business RPG, I did a podcast with him recently. I was saying to him that I clean everything with a toothpick and a toothbrush, not a toothpick, a needle and a toothbrush. That's how I clean controllers. I got to that extent.
That's an eye for detail, like beyond.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So they know that, and I've got all the contacts in the country. I've got all the contacts they need. Sorry. If they need anything, I can get it posted within a day. So that's the things that they benefit from that.
And like you said before, the fact that you've got their trust means that you know which direction to tug and which way to push, and you don't feel like you have to prove yourself. And I think with every job we've ever had in our lives, unless we work for ourselves, which is a whole different type of pressure, we've got to we're constantly being reviewed, and we're constantly being either pushed to the side or we're being expected to lift up to meet the requirements of the environment and things like that. And, I think a lot of people would envy the situation you're in, where you're like, no, I'm actually exactly where I'm meant to be, doing exactly what I want to be. And I think that, like, I have a daughter who's going to be 10 soon. And, some of my concerns for her, like, I went to 6 primary schools because my mother kind of just traveled around, a little bit of a hippie. And, I didn't really get my shit together until I was about 28, 29 years old. And although I look back and go, by then most people have paid off a quarter of their mortgage and got 2 kids and blah, 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 blah. At the same time, having that sort of like distinct lack of commitment in my life, by the time I kind of turned 33-ish, I think I knew exactly where I'd screwed up, and I knew what I really needed to do. And I worry about my daughter coming up now going, I don't want her to have to decide whether she wants to be a vet or an astronaut at the age of 12. Like, that's ridiculous, and it's no wonder that people find situations like what's happened over the last couple of years hard, because now they've been forced to sit at home and think about their lives. And I really hope that that's given a lot of people opportunity to kind of go, you know what, screw this, I'm going to clown college, and they just do it, and they just get on with it. And Yeah, the table's obviously turned for you. Super jelly. Yeah, man. Super jelly.
Thanks, mate.
So what do you do for Sean then? I mean, you're doing that, and that's obviously for you, but as far as as far as just like collecting and playing, are you still able to just go, you know, that other third of my life is still 100% intact. I've got these games, like you said before, I've got this game I'm going to play and I need to do this mod for me and I want to collect this. And is that still, you think that'll still keep going?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. I'm a lot more structured than I used to be. I used to just get, because I get really, I've got a very addictive and obsessive personality. So if I find something that I like, I latch onto it and I'll just keep doing it nonstop until I either fall asleep, pass out, or it just breaks.
And then you jump on the web page and order another one. And
then I get another one,
Yeah.
So I have to be strict with myself and I have to make sure that I make time in the day for not just looking at games, watching games, playing games. I try really hard to not just get absolutely consumed by it and just have some time to do something else. So me and my partner will sometimes we'll go away and have little city breaks and things like that, or we'll go for walks. And what we're doing is, because autumn's just starting over here, my missus is into fungi hunting and mushroom hunting. So we'll go to like the woods on like 6-7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. It's still foggy and just walk through the woods trying to find mushrooms. So I do that, and then I exercise, like I've got a 4 mile lap that I do from home. I do that a couple of times a week. It's about a 45 minute run. But no, it's 41 minutes. I know I did it in 39 the other day, actually, which was good for me. It's good for me. I do that, man. I try and stay busy with you. I try and do things, these things like running and like fungi hunting and mushroom hunting. They're things that don't involve a screen. Because the thing that I try to be mindful of is right now what we're doing, we're looking at each other in a screen. I'm going to put a TikTok video up later and I'm going to do some content. I'm going to be looking at a screen. I'm going to play Ico on the PlayStation. I'm going to be looking at the screen. Then later I'm going to watch YouTube videos, Minecraft videos on YouTube, and I'm going to be looking at the screen. So I'm trying to do things where I'm not looking at a screen. Because I think we sort of forget that we look at the screen so much, and it can't be good for you. And as an advocate for, is that the right word? For retro gaming. Is that the right word?
Yeah, I guess as an ambassador. But don't use your screens too much.
But just not too much. In what's it called? In moderation. You have to do it in moderation with everything in life. You can't do anything too much because you can have too much of a good thing and you'll just kill it off. It's like songs. I've ruined songs before in the past because I love it that much. I'll listen to a song 5 or 6 times in a row, literally over and over again. And I'll do that for like 2 weeks and then I won't feel the same. I won't be able to nod my head anymore. And I try not to do that with things because otherwise you just rip your hobbies apart and you could lose some good games or some good music to overplaying.
Yeah. I agree with you. I've done the same over a few hobbies in the last 5 to 6 years prior to sort of really kind of looking into retro gaming and gone, which is probably the last 2.5. But before that, I would just go bonkers for 18 months, like bonkers. And then just at the end sort of go, I think I've done everything that I want. I've got everything I want from this. And now it's time to find something else. Whereas with the retro gaming and having Everdrives, you know, I can watch one of your videos or listen to someone else on a podcast or chat with someone and just go, oh, that sounds pretty rad. That sounds like the most awfulest game I'd never buy, but I need to experience it for myself. And so I can just wander off, play it for 20 minutes and go, yeah, it was right. This game is awful. And you can just really kind of, it becomes more like a, I think for me, retro gaming has become more like a library of books, but I actually do pull them out and have a look at them. People that just collect, it must be a real burden to just always be missing something in your collection. It must be hard knowing that there is a copy of Mario Brothers out there for $2 million sealed in box or whatever the crap was, but I can't have it. I like the way I feel, which is I can actually have any game I want on my EverDrive.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I'm so free to just experience it, you know. And the only person that's the only person that's not benefiting from it is the guy that's going to try and charge me $2 million for Mario Brothers or something. So it's fine. I'm good with that.
Good.
Yeah, right. Man, you just got your finger in so many pots of just deliciousness all over the show. And, it's really great to sort of see, like, I think some people can sort of see someone on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram and sort of not quite understand what's behind it. And I think we've really had a good opportunity to understand what's behind Sean, what's behind, did somebody say retro, and, you know, did somebody say PVM? So I really, that's how we say it here. I really appreciate your time and your honesty to kind of just sit with me and tell us more about, you know, what's going on.
I've loved it, mate. It's nice to be able to give, like I've said a couple of times when we've been talking, there's a few things I've said that I haven't said before. So it's nice to, you know, like the reasoning behind the name, did somebody say retro? And why did somebody say PVM? I haven't been able to put that across as much as I'd like to. So this has been a really good chat. I've honestly really enjoyed this, mate. And if you ever want, if there's more developments in the future, you could jump on again, man.
No worries. I'm definitely going to come back around for some people. That's for sure. Especially when I see things growing and opportunities to kind of, you know, keep nudging things along for people. I mean, I'm not like, you know, overlord of the web or anything crazy, but I know there's a few people that have sort of gone, oh man, I did this because I heard this dude talking about that on, you know, or I did my own show because I heard her, this chick, she's like, you just do it. It's not that big a deal. Yeah. Listen, I always do a couple of shout outs or at least one specific shout out. And I always give my guests the opportunity, and it's not an ambush. There's no pressure. And it's really about you. Some people would sort of say, I don't know, just go and follow who I follow. But there's also some people like that will see it as an opportunity to give someone, you know, like say, you know, somebody say PVM is it's really what you do all the time is like lift someone up and give them that opportunity to kind of go a step forward. And there's a lot of times that's what this is for me. This particular episode is the person I'm looking at is it's the D-pad dad. So it's the_D-pad_dad. And I guess as soon as I sort of saw that, I was like, oh, D-pad and dad, what's there not to like, sort of thing. The D-pad dad. Now this gentleman, retro gaming console hobbyist enthusiast who also happens to be a dad, specializing in handheld gaming excess, which is an interesting kind of little bit of grammar there. So I think this person's sort of like subtly admitting I have too much. But it's just some really nice photography and you just a good mix of bits and pieces. There's one particular shot. I think there was two shots. Like I went, like I chuckled. One is like, he's there's sort of like a forest backdrop, which is out of focus. And he's holding a Game Boy micro with a power glove in the middle of the forest.
Oh,
I'm like, that's funky as heck. That makes no sense at all, but I feel like I really like that. And then another one he's got is he's sort of just, it's like a low shot of his kind of waist, and he's got this like massive kind of like bum bag, we call them, or a fanny pack for a Game Boy kind of hanging off the side. Like you could kind of keep like a day's lunch in it. It's to think that
I'm looking at it now. Yeah, it looks really cool, this page.
Yeah, so you know,
he's got PVM as well.
Yeah. Well, there you go. He's of kin. So
I've got to give him a follow.
Yeah. So that's what I like to do. I mean, there's some really good stuff, and it's a good mix of. I love this one a bit further down. There's he's got like a belt holster for his Game Boy Color. You know, and you
on it. Yeah,
you still see COD. This just one. A bit further down. Go further down again. About another down. Three lines. You see COD just with their massive like iPhone 12s. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And it's like on the side of their belt. Cool. And it's like every time they swing the arm's got to come out like an extra 12 inches to get around the iPhone 12. It's like, dude, just put it in your pocket. But there, he's that's wearing really that Game cool, Boy man. Color with pride. And that's what we like to see. Yeah. So yeah, look, that's me. That's thank you, mate, whoever you are, for just I just like seeing stuff in my feed and I get on. And you follow so many people that you sort of sit down for wherever you sit with your phone and you just go. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, I need to go. Oh, I'm going to buy one of them now, son of a bitch. Guys, stuff. Or just people are so creative and just so beautiful. And, you know, you don't have to be totally rad to make someone else happy. And you are rad, but you've proved today, you know, that our conversation is you don't have to be like a big, big deal to have an impact on people that are paying attention.
No.
Yeah.
It feels like yesterday I got 100 followers and everything. This is my camera. Like this.
Yeah.
Everything I do is from this phone. Like I've only ever used the phone to make my content. Yep. All my videos, all the TikTok stuff I'm at NK64. Yep. It's my phone. I've never had an actual camera. Yep. It doesn't take. It doesn't take too much to be able to make a page and just make some good content. Just put some time into it, and that's all that matters. And it shows when you put time into things.
Yeah. It also shows when you're, not forcing it.
Of course, yeah.
I know there's been times, like, I used to get into Gunpla, and I was kind of like, I was building them all the time. Like, behind me, there's about, 120 models down in that corner there somewhere. Mm-hmm. You see them, and some other ones, and some that took me months and weeks, and I just took Instagram by the balls, and I was like, I got to just get it up. And I was like, no one gave a shit. But for some reason, it mattered to me. And after a while, like, what are you doing? And you're missing out. And that's potentially why I only lasted 18 months in the hobby, because I was feeding this beastie demon thing that I'd unleashed on myself. And as soon as I kind of stepped back and just took a picture of something that I loved, and just put it up, because for me, Instagram's a lot about it's almost like a photographic diary.
Yeah.
I wish that Instagram had a way of sort of allowing you to jump back in like months or weeks or years, because for me to scroll back 3 years, it's going to take me about 6 months to bloody scroll all the way back there. Yeah. So it'd be nice to go back and go, what the hell was I doing? I don't have a lot to do with Facebook, but I do every now and then get the whole thing. Hey, 3 years ago, you put this picture up. And I'm like, oh, man, that was cool. So Instagram feedback. Let me jump back and just time schedule have a look. Yeah. So anyway, look, I'll give you the opportunity now. You've mentioned a few people NQ64 has been a big topic of conversation here. But I'll give you the opportunity to sort of sprout your own stuff or anything else you want to kind of go on with now.
So my own stuff and shout-outs.
Yeah. I mean, we've got, I'll ensure that in the show notes, we've got Did Say PVM, Did Say Retro, both Instagram, and then I'll make sure your YouTube's in there. I'll get your details for your Discord.
Yeah, sure.
So if there's anything else that you want to add on the end of that, then feel free to fire away or just give it to me later and I'll make sure everybody can get that. But then if there's anything else out there that you want to promote or whatever, then this is your
cool
while we're all listening.
Well, just trying to think what I've got in line. I mean, I've got a couple of things that I've got in line that I'm not going to announce because I'm not 100% confident I'm going to be able to get it done in time for Christmas. So people that have been following for a while know what kind of thing I do before Christmas. Okay. It's along those lines, but
are Stephen Claus, so there has to be something coming.
exactly. I've got some designs for t-shirts that I want to work on, but again, it's just time. And
do you already have merch?
Just one of those. I had merch when I first started.
Yeah.
I did it in a way where I bought a lot of stock, and then I'm still holding on to about 10, but it's not the same. It was before I even changed the logo and everything. Before the logo was changed, one of my really good friends called Ravnita Rayet, she did my logo for me. They did somebody say PVM logo and did somebody say retro logo. Right. It was by Ravnita Rayet, by the way. So that's a shout out because she's a really cool artist. She doesn't do all of her stuff isn't retro gaming, but some of the stuff is like Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter stuff.
Is she on Instagram?
She's really cool. She's on Instagram, yeah.
Yeah, I'll get those details off you then at a later date.
Yeah, sure. And I think my best mate, Peng 11, he just started doing some more retro gaming themed artwork, which is amazing. So yeah, I love to support him as much as I can.
I love retro gaming. Yeah, for me, it's the biz.
It's class. I love it. These guys are doing like mashups of things that I never even would have thought of. Peng did, he did Real Monsters. Real Monsters, the cartoon from Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
I think he's Nickelodeon, not Cartoon Network. My memory fails me. Old cartoon mixed up with
I'm looking at now. Pokemon. He's got Mewtwo and class. Iron Man mashup.
Yeah, man. He's just started doing those and knocking those out. So, yeah. And yeah, man, I think there's not there's not much for me to report right now. There's so quite a few things in the in the games room that I could work on, but it's just time.
So
as soon as something else comes up, I'll be announcing it anyway. I did enjoy doing a live video on Sunday. Actually, I did a Instagram live and I spoke to people in my games room and showed them around, answered some questions. I loved doing that, so I'm probably going to be doing one of those again soon as well.
Yeah, nice. Oh man, Ping 11, he's got some funny shit in there. I just subscribed, like, I don't know, just silliness.
He's my best mate, man. So I've got a lot of time for him.
There's one down here. I don't know what it means.
Putting up new pictures.
I don't know what it means, but it's like the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but in the middle it says massive.
Oh, it's
fraud.
Boris Johnson. Yeah, it's Boris Johnson.
Yeah, yeah, Hellraiser, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's really good.
Good stuff. All right. Oh, cool. Look, there's freaking Bane with a mask on. That's crazy.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, like as in really like good. A medical mask because of COVID. That's I was born in the pandemic. That's funny. All right, buddy. Thank you so much. I really, cool. was really yabbered on, and I just could probably do it for another hour and a half or so. But part two sometime when you kind
yeah,
of
man.
It's if you'll talk to me in 6 months or 12 months because you'll be
of course
like a,
I will.
You'll be a rock star. Yeah. You'll have all these.
Mate.
What when you open the NQ64 in Dubai, you'll be like, "Nah, I don't know if I got time for you, buddy." It's so exciting.
I will never change, mate.
So happy for you.
I'll always be the same. Thank you very much, mate. And I've always got time for people like yourself and anyone that's passionate about their craft. And I love the work that you do in the community as well. So I just want to say thank you to you to shedding more light on individuals in the community and giving people more of an insight, because I love that sort of stuff. I love learning more about people and seeing what it is behind the screen, because you make your impression. You make you get an impression of what people are like through looking at your phone, and you sort of make an image of yourself in an image in your head of what that person's like.
Yeah.
But when you have interviews with these people and some really, really, really cool people in the community, it just a bit better insight into a bit of meat on the bone,
because when you're looking at your feed, you're kind of like you're looking at your picture and your picture and your picture. And I think that I think it would break our little hearts if we were to know how long someone actually loiters on each of our posts. It's probably around, we're never going to admit it because, I love you and you're my best friend, but it's probably 3 to 6 seconds per picture and you're flicking and flicking because we're trained, like you said, there's so much screen time. We're trained to just keep topping it up, just keep pressing that button, and just that IV of whatever they've got stuck in there. Just beep, 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 just keep it coming. So that has always been my goal, is to meet people, because I do like meeting people. I'm an introvert, but I do love people. It's that weird, like, I can't swim, I love the ocean kind of thing. So I think, people have the opportunity to put a bit more meat on the bone and talk about themselves. And because there is only so much you can get from just reading posts and even chatting with people.
Yeah.
You don't know where they are. It's easy to sort of think, oh, this guy's a bit rude. And you're like, well, actually, he's probably at work and he probably shouldn't be on his phone. And you're probably lucky to have got anything back from him or something, or her or whatever. All right, dude. Thank you so much. Cool. We'll wrap it up there.
Thank you.
And we're going to be in touch, and I'm going to keep enjoying what you're doing. And for God's sakes, I'm going to probably buy a PVM someday. It'll be when they're hard to find and 3 times the price. And they'll be like, some people go out and buy that old Porsche that is shit and they should have bought it 15 years ago. But they just got it. And that'll be me. I'll buy the one that's subpar. And now I've got
one. Yeah, man.
It's all good. All right, buddy. Thanks so much for your time. You have a great weekend. What's
Thank
left
you.
Of it? And we'll see you around and keep watching and listening. All the best with the kingdom that you're now sort of part of. Lucky man.
Awesome.
All right, bud. See ya.
Thank you very much, mate. Thank you. Take care.